This is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, brought to you by the Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle in 2023. JB and Billy have had a relaxing start to the day.
I like a sleep-in Sunday morning.
A lie-in Sunday, Jim.
Now it's time for reflection.
How do you self-assess? How do you reckon that went?
We can work on it.
Oh.
This is the best stuff from Triple M's Rush Hour this week.
It doesn't get any better.
No, Jim.
It's the Rush Hour Sunday session.
I feel good!
On Triple M.
Jimmy boy, it's on like Donkey Kong. In just a few hours, my Cats will take on your Roos at the beautiful GMHBA Stadium. It's the Rush Hour Cup.
I don't care if we don't win another game for a decade. If we win that game, I will dine out on that forever. Before we get there, 2 hours of the best radio you'll ever hear. We'll talk to Jay-Z Clark about the fallout from Jeremy Finlayson's 3-match suspension.
Plus, I see you've got a traffic party report. And you've got some new policies.
Spot on, Fat. I've been quiet too long and there were too many dopey units, especially around where I live. It worries me a lot, but not as much as when I look at the running sheet and see Kraft Brownless.
Oh, this is a good one, Jimmy boy. Just something that came across my desk that intrigued my little mind.
But next, it's Melbourne International Comedy Festival season and we speak to one of its biggest stars, Will Anderson.
Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session will be back soon. And to get JB and Billy whenever you want, download the Listener app and add the show to your favourites.
I feel good!
With the Melbourne International Comedy Festival on now until April 21, you can book at comedyfestival.com.au and go and see this man's show, Will Legitimate.
Well done.
Will Anderson's here with us.
He is. He's probably our favourite comedian, by the way.
All time.
He's on all the time. We love him. Do you have a meet and greet? And go around and shake hands and get photos with your with the people that come and watch you.
Not running for election, Bill.
Well, it'd be nice for you to do that, Will.
Why would that be nice for me to do that?
Well, some girls just laugh for 45 minutes at your jokes.
Mate, there's been a transaction that has taken place. It's the one that we all agreed to, which was that they paid money to sit and listen to me talk for an hour in a row.
Just come
and then they get to go home and I get to go home out of separate entrances.
You want a photo or something? Come on, Will. You could build on that. That's something you look at next year.
What am I meant to be doing?
Like
meeting people after the show.
They got the sign there.
How many people do you think come to my show, Bill?
Like,
there's 1,000 people in that theatre every night.
1,000?
1,000.
Oh, shit, you're going that well.
Yeah.
How much do they pay you? I'm going to work this out. 1,000 at what?
Oh, I don't know. Somewhere between $28 and $60, depending on.
We'll say $40.
Okay,
it's
all right.
$40,000 a night, Jim. That's a good little cash.
You know, and the great thing is, Bill, they give me the venue for free, and they just throw in all the stuff, so I don't have to do anything about any of that stuff.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Why do you reckon he's one of Australia's best?
Well, I didn't know he had 1,000 at $40. Wow.
No, if you want some cheap tickets, mate, I can arrange you some. There's a guy in a van out on the street.
Jacket. Now, I want to know how it all started because I'd tell a joke. But I tell you what, after 11 years, it's hard to come up with a new one, a clean one that's not hurting someone or offending someone.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
So they've been rehashed a couple of times.
You've gone back to a joke that you've already told before.
Once, twice, or maybe three times.
Okay. Is that what you're saying today is?
Today is
a best of. Is this a joke that you have used before and that you are taking back for a second go? Because that's all right. That's, you know what, Bill? There's a story in my show that I told in the first show that I ever did I'm telling to revise from a different perspective, that story, right? I'm looking at it through my eyes now as opposed to my eyes when I was 20 years old. You could do that with your jokes. You can reimagine, like it's a different perspective. It's a different Bill. You're a different person to when you told that joke 3 years ago or 5 years ago. Therefore, the joke.
Different perspective.
Yeah, right? So you're bringing a different life experience to the table, right?
Yes, beautiful.
You know, it's not just the jokes. It's the life experience of the comedian that makes the joke. It's the person telling the joke.
Yeah.
That informs, you know, whether the joke is truly funny. So you've got to bring the new Bill to the table when you tell this joke, and that will take you to the next level with this joke. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, he doesn't.
Of course he doesn't.
I know.
I got no no idea what you're saying.
Halfway through me saying that, you just started staring at your fingers.
No.
Like literally just staring at them in front of your face like you needed to see something you could understand more than the words that were coming out of my mouth.
What you just experienced is a daily occurrence for me. It's Bill's head just goes to a place and his eyes get all vacant and you think...
No, he said...
JB, I had him. I had him on the hook. I felt it tug on the little string. I was like, I reckon he's listening to me.
In.
And then suddenly the hand came up and you just started staring at your fingers in front of your eyes. I was like, I've lost him. I've lost him.
Oh, my goodness.
But how long did it take for you up on stage, like a footballer? I reckon it's about 50 or 60 games, Jim, when they feel confident enough.
Right. Comfortable.
How many gigs would have taken you?
Oh, you know what, Bill? I'm going to say this sincerely. That's a pretty good question.
I would have thought.
Yeah, and so I reckon you need about 100 gigs to work out whether you can do it or not. Like,
100?
I wouldn't say to anyone, like, make up. If you love it, you know, like, there's those footy players who go and play in the, well, you know, you've got one of the all-time greats down at Geelong who just took a little bit longer to get there, but once you get there, you're amazing.
Yes.
Like, I reckon you can't tell in the first 100. If you really think you're good at it or you're doing something, do 100.
Yeah.
I reckon by 100, you've probably worked out whether you should keep doing it or not.
You would have done some shitty joints, wouldn't you, and small joints, but you've got to do all that.
Yeah, mate. I did a show one night to two people, and at one stage, one of them went to the toilet. I was like, do I wait?
What do I do?
Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like weird that half the audience has left that I should keep going, that they're not going to understand the rest of the show.
So you've got to do the tough yards, don't you?
Mate, you've got to do the tough yards, and I'm sure I'll have to do them again.
No,
once
not.
On the way up or once on the way back down.
No, you will not. You're established. Whereas Fat, he did a speaking gig for 10 people just recently. He went and sat down at the table with them.
Oh, well, it was closer. I was more, it felt... like part of the family.
Yeah, yeah. And is that how that was advertised, the dinner
No,
with
there
Bill?
Was meant to be 300.
Yeah, right. And then the bloke come up and said, we're running a bit short here.
I mean,
your money's a bit...
tough for me if I got to the comedy theatre tonight and there was only 10 people there and I was like, you know what, let's just go down to Schnitz.
That's what we did. I sat on a table with them and they could ask questions as we went around.
Next time you and I see each other at a public establishment, I know what's going to happen already. You're going to say, Jim... let me buy you a beer. I never knew the pain you had to endure every day.
Well, I just think there was two options for me. I could have come into the studio today or I could have come down to Marvel where you are, Jim.
And
they've brought me in here.
Because you're happy with Fat, aren't you? You like working with me, Willie. Will Legitimate.
Yep, it's Will Anderson's best show. You can catch it in the Comedy Theatre. Will Legitimate. Get your tickets at comedyfestival.com.au.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You need strength and stamina to win.
I beg your pardon?
And I have strength and stamina. Most others don't.
Oh, my God. So when I look at the running sheet and I see Kraft.
Yes.
I think to myself, Fat's been at work. And Hose has come in because why have you invited Hose into this bit of craft?
Because I think she'll like this survey that's come across my desk.
Welcome, Hose.
Okay, hi.
Hello.
I'm a little bit nervous.
So what's the survey?
Well, it's the world's sexual habits, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the naughty...
You're now glad you've been included.
See, Hose, this is why you're here.
Okay.
The naughtiest nation.
Oh.
The most promiscuous nation or country in the world, okay?
Yep.
Who, I'm going to ask you three learned people, who do you think is number one, the most promiscuous?
It's got to be like a South American country.
I was going to say like the French.
Oh,
like
that's a good call.
French,
or
Chile,
Italian.
Argentina, somewhere
Brazil.
Like that.
Yeah. I'm going to go Sweden.
No, they didn't get a mention. Sweden.
Right.
No. Jim?
I said like Chile or Argentina or somewhere.
No,
like that.
They didn't get a mention either.
Brazil. I said Italy.
Italy's not a bad guess. I think they were down the bottom there too.
Okay.
Do you know the most promiscuous country in the world?
No.
Istanbul was Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul.
Really?
Constantinople.
Turkey. Turkey.
Really?
Turkey.
Yeah,
a bit of Turkish delight.
Is this the craft?
But the average Turk has slept with 14 different partners.
Wow.
14, Jim. That's interesting. Oh, what are you doing, Hose?
What are you doing, Hose?
A number two.
Right.
Who do you reckon's number two? A turkey on top. Right. Number two. The vinyl.
Australia.
Australia.
Hey.
Wow.
Aussie.
Second.
Australia took second place on the Lusty Index. The average
Lusty Index.
The average Aussie having sex with more than 13 people in their life.
So this, you just dived into the booth there with Maddie, and this is what you're coming up with.
Yes, right. It's all put together in a matter of seconds.
Right,
13 in your life, Jim.
Right.
1 year.
No. Oh! No way.
1992.
That's what year. I find interesting.
So I'd double it. That was a good year.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So Turkey, Australia, who do you think comes in at number three?
Right.
Oh. No.
Oh, Rusty.
New Zealand.
No. New Zealand.
Number three.
Number three, New Zealand. And then Iceland. We got Iceland?
Yeah, we got
the hard one, Iceland.
Yeah, no, we got it.
There are four.
So that's number four.
And then number five is South Africa, which we didn't have time.
No, I had a look. There was Lucky Dubé, and Dave Matthews from Dave Matthews Band was born in South Africa.
So about the 14 or 13 they've slept with over their life, which is okay, Jim, when you spread it out. Right. But the least promiscuous, China.
Really?
Three. Only three.
Yes.
And India, only three.
Well, I thought Iceland was sort of pretty close to... Yeah, it's in the same vicinity as...
Oh, no.
So, Bill.
That's what we're talking about.
So, the New Zealanders.
Yes.
Just that...
Right? No, but... It said people. In this survey said people, Rab.
He's not shearing it.
You should be shearing that shit. I'm not shearing it with anybody.
How did he find his sheep? Delightful.
No,
Bill.
Shut up. How's you laughed at it? So, well done to Turkey. Australia second, New Zealand third.
So it's an actual race.
It's a race, yes. It's
all
a
right.
race.
We'll be better next year, Australia.
Yes, come on. Come on out there. Get a bit more promiscuous.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And you went for low-hanging sort of fruit. So what are you doing today?
I'm double downing.
Oh, no.
Double downing.
If it's happening in footy...
One of the biggest stories of the season has just dropped.
This man will be all over it.
Have a go at Jay-Z. He's everywhere.
I know. He knows everything.
On Triple M's Rush Hour...
How are you, mate? You big bowling ball? You good?
It's Jay-Z Clark.
Jay-Z.
Poor boy. Bit harsh, wasn't I? Sorry, Bill. I love you, mate. How are you?
You've said sorry and I've accepted it.
Fresh Jay-Z.
You look good. You haven't been to Adelaide.
I didn't go. And... I don't want to poo-poo the event because it's amazing and everyone's had a great time. But a lot of the media figures have come back just a bit weary, hungover, haven't they? They've had
have a
massive
look at the room.
They've had a massive go at it.
Jeremy Finlayson, three matches.
Tell you what, this story has really flared up in the last couple of hours because he's copped a three-match suspension from the AFL for the homophobic slur in the game against Essendon, as we know. But the AFLPA have gone whack since. So this is from AFL CEO Paul Marsh. He says, look, Jeremy, what he said was unacceptable and hurtful. We know that. But what they point out is the blatant hypocrisy and double standards between North Melbourne coach Alistair Clarkson getting a suspended two-game suspension and a $20,000 fine for the comment about St Kilda's Jimmy Webster versus the three-game ban for Jeremy Finlayson, who is a Port Adelaide player. So Marsh says here, we have fundamental concerns about this and historical AFL outcomes that result in discrepancies when sanctioning players in comparison to officials. He goes on, we believe the AFL is consistently inconsistent. He's not mucking around here, Marshy. And there are double standards in its approach to dealing with players compared to others on behavioural matters. Lastly, the issue highlights a lack of clarity on how the AFL handles these situations. He has put it back over the fence for six here, Paul Marsh. And do you know what, Jim and Bill? I reckon he's got a very good point because it's easy to go soft on Clarko. We know he's one of the biggest figures in the game. You know, was sitting the heat of the moment, blah, blah, blah. But then when Finlayson says it on the field, it did stick his hand up straight away. to his credit. We know it was a terrible thing to say, but he did stick his hand up and still gets a 3-game ban. So on one hand, the AFL says, right, this is the watershed moment.
Yep.
This is the line in the sand.
The bar has been set.
Yeah, we've got to treat this almost like racism, the Nicky Winmar moment. Yep. You know, the game has improved considerably on that front. So in terms of homophobic language or those which denigrate gay players and gay people, you know, it's completely unacceptable. So this is the line in the sand. However, Jim, I think Paul has got a very good point. How do you give the coach, like, if you took on Clarko, that would have been a big statement, wouldn't it? That would have carried more weight.
Probably.
For mine.
Probably. Yes, it would have. I just ask, how long's a bit of string with this? Because you only need to step, and I've got no issue with this sanction, by the way, and how strong the AFL have been, so I've got no problem with any of that.
Mm.
But you only need to stand, like I did on the weekend in the race, waiting to do the second game at the Adelaide Oval. Mm. So I heard the back end of, you know, the 25 minutes of to hear what players say to other players on the ground. Mm. And it's been going on since Bill was a player and prior to that.
Worse in our
So what are we saying? Are we saying you're not allowed to actually say anything?
No, we're saying that you can't say things involving people's sexuality, you know, denigrates their sexuality or their religious beliefs. You know, or their gender, their person. So, I think you can say, Jim, that's a crappy kick. You can't kick, mate. You're a shocking kick. You should handball every time. That's okay. But I don't think we should be talking about you were a suspect outside.
Okay, so I'm hearing you, and I'm not arguing with any of this, by the way. But where it's going to get very murky is offence.
Yep.
So if a player turns around and says, well, I take offence to that.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go? Where does it stop and where does it start?
It's a grey area.
So it is. It's very grey. So this is completely unacceptable.
Yep.
And Jeremy put his hand straight up and said it is, and I apologise. And so I've got no issue with that. All I'm saying is, where does this bit of string stop?
Yeah.
Because players have been abusing players on sporting fields for 100 years.
Yes. It can get fruity.
It can get very, very fruity, but especially when it gets to the top level.
That is where the education of players has got to really continue, and it will ramp up. So as part of all this, Jeremy Finlayson will pay for his own counselling course. And let's be honest, I think for the large percentage of the AFL community, it's very good. It has improved. This doesn't come up very often. And the Essendon player has been adamant his name does not want to be, he does not want his name mentioned in any of this. So we absolutely respect that. Even the word that was used, I don't think anyone's gone with that yet. I think that's a good thing.
Yep.
But I think broadly, you know, it's been very good in terms of the respect and equal rights. However, this shows that clearly some things will still bob up. Hopefully it is the end of it for some time. But you're right, I mean, even in the community sometimes it can get a bit unsure.
Oh, no,
Bill comes in, calls me fat, I get offended sometimes. So
bowling ball.
Bowling ball settled. Maybe we need an armistice.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
So you are a Solomon now.
Another guy,
Bill. A sommelier. That's nearly it. A wine connoisseur.
All right, I've got some traffic party in just a sec.
Oh, yes, please.
But before we do, sucked in.
Why?
Well, you're about to tell us.
Well, it's, yeah, this happened the other night. I've got a nice little routine worked out in the hood, Jim, okay? Yeah. So I go down to the bot.
Yes.
I have a pint, just between 4 and 7. That's happy hour, so I make sure I get myself a pint. And then I order some Thai from just down the road, nice little Thai place there.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So then I have another pint, and by the time I've finished that second pint, I walk along and get my pickup my Thai.
Yes.
So I go up there and only a little meal for fat the other night.
Just fat alone.
A fat alone. Yes. And a little meal. Mm-hmm. 4 spring rolls, but the little ones.
Yes.
4 spring rolls.
The little ones.
4 chicken satay and small rice.
Skewers.
Skewers. Yes. Oh, I love them. How good are they?
Well, with the yellow sauce?
Peanut sauce. Peanut sauce. I get a bit extra.
Right.
A peanut sauce and the springies and also the little rice.
That's it.
So
that's all you eat for dinner.
That's it for dinner. I've had a couple of pints. So I'm just beautiful.
That's not enough for dinner.
Yes, it is. So
where's the vegetables?
Pad Thai.
Shut up. I'm all eating it. You're not eating it. And you're not eating
That's
it.
That's not
shut
enough
up.
For old fat.
Yes, it is.
Right.
So I walk out. Yes. And, oh, sorry. And she goes, $46. I didn't think about that, Jim. I just pulled out a pineapple, nice little crispy pineapple, and I said, keep the change, Dale. Keep the change, which was nice of me.
Fitty. Just handed that over.
$4 a tip. Anyway.
$4 tip.
Well,
wait. Oh, generous fat.
Wait.
Keep the change.
I'm walking downstairs at this Thai joint that I go to. I haven't been back. And I think, shit, that's a lot for bloody four springies, four chicken satay, small rice. Yes. I have a look at the little ticket. $26. It only cost $26. I got a communication mix-up, Jim.
And
I thought it was $46. So I go, I've given a $24 tip. No.
Sucked in.
So I just walked. I had to go upstairs. I thought, well, I'll let her go this time.
Let her go.
But I've given her a $24 tip.
For a $26 meal.
Exactly.
Sucked in.
No, well done, Fat.
Oh, well done. Now he's claiming.
Oh, no. If he hadn't walked up the stairs, would you have gone back?
Yeah, if it wasn't that walk up there, I wouldn't have gone.
You know what I know he did? He got outside, saw his mistake because he could see the bill, and then strongly contemplated going back.
I did, very much so. Very, very much
so. But now you're saying, well done, Fat.
Well, I thought, good on you, Bill. For giving her a tip. They work hard there, and it was bloody beautiful, so well done there.
You got a tip. At least 10%. You got a tip.
Well, 10% of $26 is $2.60.
It's not $24. But I'm saying that to the family.
Yeah, I know.
You got a tip.
Well,
the staff work hard in restaurants.
I know, they
you got
do.
A tip.
Yes, exactly. And it was lovely. So right. I'll go back again, but she's not going to bring
a traffic
tip.
Party?
Traffic party.
Oh, here we go.
Vote one for Jim's traffic party.
Now, Fat, a couple of things I've noticed creeping in.
Oh, here we go.
That have to be stamped out. I've been lenient.
You have been. We haven't heard from you for a while.
I drove the other day down the Mornington Peninsula on the Peninsula Link.
Oh, yes.
And this happened twice.
Mm-hmm.
Bloke in the right lane. There's a freeway.
And how good is the road?
No, it's unbelievable.
It's the smoothest road.
Perfect.
Babies.
They should have made three lanes rather than two, but it's still smooth.
Did you go past the hotel?
But Fat, I went past everything.
There's a hotel there. It's not a hotel, but it's a hotel.
I think that's actually not on Peninsula Link. All right, so twice this happened.
Yeah. Yes.
Bloke doing 98 in the right lane. Now the limit's 100.
Yes.
So they do 98, so you're waiting for them to move
So you're
over.
Doing 94 or
well,
2?
I'm just waiting
97 and a half
to get the bastard off to the left lane so I can get past.
Do you flash him?
Twice. No, never flashed. Finally moved aside, this bloke, so then you can go past him.
Right.
And as you go to go past him, he speeds up to 115. Twice.
Yes,
I'm like, dingbat, if you want to drive at 115, you can stay in the right lane.
But
you only need
out.
To move over if you're doing 98.
Exactly. Get out.
Why would you do that?
Oh, yeah, good
anyway,
point.
Second one. It happens way too often where I am when there are two lanes.
Yes.
Especially given everyone in my neighbourhood's 100. and you know you're in trouble because they're all 100.
Yes.
And if you see a Honda, then you know you're in real trouble.
Volvo.
Yeah, because everyone who's over 100 drives a bloody Honda in my joint. Anyway, what happens, Fat and Rabs, is if they're not sure which lane they need to be in, they drive in the middle of the road.
No. Yeah.
So they got one tyre in the left lane and one tyre in the right lane.
Yes.
And they do it for like 200 metres until they work out which lane they need to be in before they turn.
Give them a toot.
No, they get a toot.
Oh, good.
It's an extended one too.
Yeah.
It's not just a little one. It's a full extended one. So if you're not sure, left lane, let everyone get past
That's
and then
right.
you work it out from
exactly.
there.
Exactly. It's easy, Jim.
All right. And final one.
Oh, another one.
And the final one. And again, this probably is for my neighbourhood and maybe some older ones.
The older ones.
If you're driving along, Fat, and you're turning left, there's not a German Panzer tank facing you about to blow your car away. So just turn the corner. Fat, they get there and then they have a look and they have another look and another look. And you're sitting in the left lane going, turn the corner.
And go
there's
wide.
There's not a great big angry crocodile about to bite your head off. Anyway, so traffic party.
On notice.
Those three. Fines coming.
Geez, you got a lot of rules in that traffic.
I know. Well, if everyone abided by it,
you'd be in.
How good would our bloody road system be?
It would be a lot better.
At the moment, it's shit.
Vote one for Jim's traffic party.
There we are.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I tell you what we all do when we're on holidays. We drink too much. When we're on holidays.
Have you had some problems, <Yeah. son? laughs>
JB and Billy have had a relaxing start to the day.
I like a sleep in Sunday morning.
A lie in Sunday, Jim.
Now it's time for reflection.
How do you self-assess? How do you reckon that went?
We can work on it.
Oh.
This is the best stuff from Triple M's Rush Hour this week.
It doesn't get any better.
No, Jim.
It's the Rush Hour Sunday session.
I feel good.
On Triple M.
Jimmy Boy, the Cats and the Roos isn't the only rivalry game going on today.
Mm-hmm.
The Melbourne Vixens begin their season today at John Cain Arena against the Super Netball's newest team, the Melbourne Mavericks.
Archie's mob.
That's them, Jim. But we're a Vixen station in a Vixen's town, so we're all Vixens. And we're ready to chat to superstar goal defender Vixen Joe Wetson. Joe Vixen Wetson, very shortly.
Joe Wetson. Plus, I see we've got a hump day quiz coming out of you, which I'm not sure about. Also, a massive idiot file, which I am sure about, and I'm very much looking forward to hearing it.
No more Vixen stuff, okay, Matty? Plus, I've got a joke from a member of the Rush Hour family, and maybe one of mine, if that one isn't good enough.
Yep. But next, St Kilda star Liam Stocker joins us, doing some very important work in the mental health space.
Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session will be back soon. And to get JB and Billy whenever you want, download the Listener app and add the show to your favourites.
I feel good! Triple
M. The Saints had a come-from-behind victory over the Tigers yesterday. We're joined by one of their stars, Liam Stocker.
Gets the ball on quickly to Stocker, who fires at the open goal, and he has kicked it. Beautiful finish there by Stocker.
He's had an excellent quarter. He's had an excellent game.
Whoa. Thomas just got absolutely nailed by Liam Stocker.
Nicely done, and as we welcome you, Liam Stocker, I didn't see the game, but I hear that the boss got a bit wound up.
Yeah, he did. He did a little bit. I think it was probably fair dinkum, though. We probably didn't show the side of it. Yeah, we didn't show the side of the system we wanted to show, and we'd spent all week working towards. So I think I don't think it was just Ross either. I think our assistant coaches as well were pretty frustrated with that, and so were we. So no, he was well within his rights.
What about the ground, Norwood? Skinny? Is it like Cadinia Park?
I think it's actually 8 metres skinnier than Cadinia Park.
Really?
So for a guy like me who's a contest player, I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
But probably for our system, it's, you know, not quite the same as the vast expanses of the MCG. But no, we enjoyed it. I think it's always fun to get back to that community level. And even our captain's run was awesome. Like the old stand up there and the hill. No, I really enjoyed it.
The wine festival out the street.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And that was ridiculous too.
Mum and Dad had a blast there.
I would have.
Did they make it?
Amazing.
Make it into the footy, didn't they?
Oh, barely. They sort of walked through and got caught up there. Made it for the second quarter, mate.
Oh. Good.
So what else, Liam Stocker, beside of being a very good footballer and playing very nice football for the Saints?
Podcasting.
What else is in your life? Podcasting?
Yeah, yeah. I've got plenty outside of footy. That was sort of a big part of coming back. If I was going to do it right, I wanted to enjoy my footy, and I wanted it to be the, you know, the really fun aspect of day-to-day living. So I run a podcast with two of my now really close mates called the Men of Words. So I guess the premise is we want to get people who are elite in their field to talk about their perspective on mental health or men's health or women's health, sort of whichever they've got the most experience in, really. So we've had some really, really good guests on lately, like Dan Gorringe, obviously talking about his career, but also his, you know, his social media personality and what he looks to keep himself well. I think that's sort of, we're identifying a niche in the market at the moment where we're talking a lot about awareness, and I think everyone's pretty aware of mental health these days and how it does affect particularly the younger generation.
Yes.
But I guess our focus area now is, right, well, everyone's aware that's a problem. Let's put some meaningful tips out there to help people deal with those kind of things and sort of provide people a pathway to look for meaningful help rather than, you know, oh, I'm aware this is a problem now, but I don't know what to do. And I guess at the moment we're really struggling for psychologist availability. A lot of places are at a 12-week waiting time, which is sometimes too long. And I think at the moment we're at, you know, 9 suicides a day. So it's a pretty ridiculous number and it's only going up. So trying to make our little difference in that. And then I also work with another company called Outside the Locker Room. So we deliver pretty functional education on mental health to school groups and sporting clubs, particularly local sporting clubs. We like to, you know, factor in sort of the relationship across, you know, many, many years so that we can keep on top of things. And they run really, really smooth programs, in my opinion, anyway. I've worked with a few. I worked with Beyond Blue for a couple of years as well. Really smooth programs that aim at, again, much less the awareness piece and much more about, you know, furthering their education and making people much more resilient but also much more aware of what's actually available today.
That's amazing. Well, I think it's amazing, mate, because Fat and I are the same age. I was obviously a cricketer and he was a footballer. I think most of my time of playing cricket at first class level, the fear of failure drove pretty much every action.
Yeah.
And so it followed you around the whole time.
Mm.
Even driving to the ground or driving home from training, you're just terrified of failing.
Yes.
So therefore it drove you to work hard and try and succeed. But I also look back and think it took a lot of the fun out of it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's
if I wasn't scared of failing, I would have enjoyed playing cricket so much more.
You've still got to have fun, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the aspect I lost in my first 4 years, and a big reason of why I wanted to retire after that first 4 years was that this wasn't the caper I thought I was getting into. Yeah. Obviously the circumstances around being the first ever live trade swap and stuff didn't help, but I think the regular commentary could have gone one or two ways for me. I could have, as every footballer talks about, like water off a duck's back. It certainly wasn't the case with me, even though I would have publicly said that. And then just really struggled to deal with the expectation I had of myself and then the expectation that a lot of people had of me, given how much we gave up to get me. Now I just function on, I guess I'll probably be on 1 to 2 year contracts the rest of my career. And I'm fairly comfortable with that because I'm not really letting anyone down. The only person I'm really letting down if I don't get the most out of myself is me. So. Yeah. Just really comfortable with that and far more comfortable with being a part of, what's hopefully a premiership regime.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bloody hell.
Imagine that. Imagine being a premiership player for St Kilda. Won one in history.
150 years.
Yeah, blokes will have the keys to the city.
You'd be a god. You'd be a god.
Oh, you would.
No doubt about it.
But I think even now my mentality is, right, well, if I can be part of building the culture that gets us to a premiership, I don't necessarily have to be part of that premiership, just knowing I went towards building something like that. That's sort of the cause I'd die for now.
Stock, I think you need to be part of it because I work with the bloke that played in 4 grand finals, lost every single one of them.
Yeah, right.
And, he's a shell of a man.
No, I'm not. You bounce back, Liam. You've got to bounce back. But well done on the work you do, too. Yes. That is because we don't hear enough about it. When they get in trouble, we hear about that, of course, Jim. But when they do good stuff, like, where can we find Liam, please, Raps?
It's called the Men of Words podcast. I guess where you get your podcasts, so Apple, Spotify.
Yep.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Liam, well done, mate, on everything.
Thanks for having us.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
But I wouldn't be holding my breath if I were you.
He's actually holding his breath.
He's going as red as the backdrop.
And now, from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you. Wednesday, the 10th of April. Hasn't the year just flown, Jim?
Just,
I was about to say September.
Not quite.
Not September, Brownless. We can't be there.
Putting the bins out early.
And we go to Luke, who's in Gosnells. G'day, Luke.
WA. Lucas.
Hey, how you going, Fat? JB. Hey,
JB and Rabsy. Where's
Rabsy?
Gosnells and who's from there? Anyone of note?
It's a bit of a shithole, Bill, to be honest.
South east of Perth, but what are you, about 40 minutes out?
About that, yeah. Yeah, roughly about that.
And
you wouldn't have come past here, JB.
You had a district team, I reckon, in the A grade cricket, didn't you, Gosnells?
Yeah, mate. Yep.
So I would have played out there.
I do pretty well.
Yep.
Like 3 hours?
No. That's Lake Grace you're asking me about.
Oh, sorry.
No, Gosnells about 40 minutes.
All right. Yep. And you're a tradie?
Yes, mate. Yeah, painter.
Sure. Good.
West Coast fan?
Very important.
West Coast fan, unfortunately, yeah.
All right. Slow burn.
Exactly. And then you're up against Tom from Montrose. Hello, Tom.
G'day, fellas. How are we going?
Tommy.
What are you doing? Home from work?
On the way to the vet.
Oh, what's happened?
Oh, dog. ACL. Yeah, no
ACL.
Good.
Oh, that's costly.
Yeah.
That's costly.
Yeah, no good.
And you're a Sparky?
I am, yes.
You're an electrician.
And a hawk.
Yes.
Showing a bit.
Righto, Lukey. Come on, Luke. You've got to be up. And Tom, you've got to be up.
Yell out your name when you know the answer.
Battle of the tradies.
Right. Yeah, nice one, Fat.
Battle it out.
There we go.
Nearest the pin, this one. How much did Winx's foal sell for at the sales this week?
Yeah, Lucas.
9.9 mil.
Right. Dummy.
Nah. 15 mil.
No. Well done, Luke.
Yep.
Yes. It was $10 million. You were very close. 10 mil, of course.
Very good.
Still hasn't got a name yet.
No.
Got a name for Winx's foal?
Not Rockstar.
Blinks.
Blinks. Blinks. Nudge, nudge. Number two. Wink, wink. The Super Netball season starts this weekend.
That actually wasn't bad.
The Super Netball season starts this weekend, boys. Name one of the two Melbourne teams in the competition.
Lucas.
Vixens?
Yes.
Tommy, where are you on that one? You live in Montrose.
Where, he was close, he reckons. Oh, yeah. How were you close, Tom?
Luke's all the way over there in WA. Yeah. Even he knew who the Vixens were.
Now, come on, Tom. You've got to fire up here. A bit of singing. We like this where you got to sing a few bars. Country Road by John Denver. He's not with us anymore. Poor old Johnny.
He isn't.
Was released this week in 1971.
Right.
So we're going to start it off with what you will know, and then you just keep on singing for as long as you can and get up, up, up. Rabs, hit it.
Yeah, but who's singing first?
Oh, Luke. Luke goes first.
All right.
Country road, take me home.
To the place I belong, West Gosnell.
Keep going.
That'll do me, fat.
Oh,
that's enough.
Not bad. Right. Come on, fat. Tom. This Come is your on, chance Tommy. Here, Tommy. You ready?
Yep.
Come on.
Country road, take me home.
To a place I belong, West Virginia.
Mountain Mama.
Nah.
Mountain Mama.
I'll tell you what I am doing.
I belong.
Good song.
Yeah, it's Charlie Cameron.
Charlie Cameron.
All right, when so he kicked the goal. Tommy got the destination right. Lucas has put South Gosnells in the West Gosnells are bloody bleeds.
Luke heels a lot better.
All right, Tom, right been, we're Tom. Trying to keep this thing afloat. So, Tommy.
Score?
1-2 Luke's way.
Come on, Tom. Here we go. Question four. What is a day of the week and also a character off the Addams Family?
Luke.
Oh, wait, any chance Tom can just say?
Nah. You know.
Nah.
Wednesday, thanks, Fat.
What day?
Wednesday, thanks, Fat.
Yes, well done, Wednesday.
Comprehensive.
I smashed him. Smashed him, Tom.
Over there in Gosnells.
Triple M Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
If you're a man of any level of integrity, you will say, I acknowledge there is no car park under the ground at Optus Stadium in Perth.
I'm not a man of any integrity.
The Melbourne Vixens kick off their Super Netball season this Sunday afternoon with the first ever derby against the new side Melbourne Mavericks. And we're joined by our favourite Vixen, Joe Weston.
A new season of Super Netball begins this weekend with a brand new team and players moving all over the place. But there's only one team and one player who will always be our favourite.
Oh, Joe Weston flies for a ball. What an incredible take from Joe Weston.
Please welcome, from the Melbourne Vixens, Joe Weston.
Yes. I reckon it was during the summer we were doing the cricket.
Summer of 69?
No, not that one, Bill.
Oh, right.
And out on the ground were local sports stars, one of which was a netballer, and we were just standing there waiting. I can't remember her name, which is not going to make the story as good, but she said, what? Who do you support in the netball? I said, the Vixens.
Yes.
She said, why? I said, Joe Weston.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, I love her.
Everyone loves her.
I know.
That's very flattering. I'll take it.
She wasn't an Australian player. She was playing for the Swifts or something.
So the forwards wouldn't like you much because you get niggly and all that, don't you?
Yeah, they're probably – I'm not on their Christmas present list, I would say. But, I mean – some of the shooters aren't my favourite people either, so it goes both ways.
Righto. Geez, you're looking well, you're fit, you're ready to go. And we've got two Melbourne sides now, the Melbourne Mavericks. That'd be hard to start a new team because you don't, it's not like footy, you get draft picks or anything like that. So how do you start a new team?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't probably had, I guess, the inside knowledge because I'm on the other side, but the small snippets I have had, it's been very interesting. Obviously, they've got an English coach.
You know what her dad's name is? What's her name, by the way? The coach
Tracy Neville.
And her dad's name is?
Neville.
she's Phil Gary's sister.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Neville.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're successful. Not as successful as us.
Well, you'll give them a nice pasting first up.
Well, yeah, we'll say welcome to Melbourne.
Mm. Exactly.
What about the Vixens? Who have we picked up? Rudy Ellis.
Ellis, yes.
Ellis. There's an eye there. Which is the girlfriend of...
Tim English is Rudy Ellis' boyfriend, I think is the correct way to describe it.
Yes.
But, yeah, she's come across... She's a journey woman. She's lived all over the world, really. She's been in Sydney, Thailand, X, Y, and Z. Then she played for Brisbane, the West Coast Fever, and now she's finally back in the Vixen. So, yeah, she's even taller than me. And she's really dynamic. So we're looking forward to having her in the defensive circle.
No doubt about that. Lizzie Watson?
Yeah, we've lost Liz.
What the hell?
I know. It was pretty, I think, devastating for all of us once she sort of explained to us she was leaving. I mean, I've played Victorian netball with her since we were 15, so we've pretty much grown up together. But, I mean, you can't blame her if you look at the current state of Melbourne's weather, wanting to move to the sunny coast. However, it's opened up a really great avenue for Hannah Mundy and our newest recruit from Colac, Zara Walters, who's just impressed me to no end over the preseason.
From Colac. Gee, they produce some sports people, don't they?
Yep.
Colac is... Have you been to Colac?
I have, yes. Yeah, that's nice.
No, it's a lovely spot. We love Colac.
Calf injury? How's that?
Because
they can hang around.
I know. I'm recovering pretty well, so I'm old, unfortunately. I was a walking cliche. I turned 30.
And then bang.
Boom, calf injury.
Soleus?
It is my soleus, which is not a traditional injury you see in... Yep. A netball, or I think in football, it's a running injury, which
is
surprising given I don't run any more than 30 metres,
that's really. Right.
I said, how is this happening?
So it's not belly of the muscle, Bill, if you need to be...
Achilles, is it?
No, it's not.
It's soleus.
I haven't done one either.
It's a tendon through the calf rather than the belly.
How would you know, by the way?
Because I had issues with it myself at the back end of my... And it's a bastard of a thing. It won't go.
And unfortunately, I've just obliterated my ankle after years and years of competitive netball, so that is the real crux of my injury. So... The physio is definitely going to be getting a very generous birthday present from me, given we're spending so much time together.
Speaking of birthdays, which you weren't, but Emily Mannix had a beautiful, her 30th birthday down in Geelong. Did you go to it, Joe?
I did, and it was at the most beautiful venue I've been to. I mean, I don't go to Geelong much, but you know what? It was worth a trip down the highway.
The Wharf Shed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Lovely spot down there on the water.
Joe
upstairs.
Told me about it.
What did she say?
She said the beams are too low and she had to crouch down and hit her head.
They're a touch low, but...
It was fun. It was like a game of limbo every time you wanted to walk on the dance floor.
And you went out in the balcony there and you could have been in Italy or anywhere. Could have been anywhere in the world.
Do you get the helicopter from Melbourne directly to the front of your pub?
We have before. Yes, we
it's
have.
It's quite convenient for you,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. I've never heard anyone compare Geelong with Italy.
No. Except for the Shell factory and...
the refinery.
And forward out there.
Joe, good luck.
Yes.
Massive season coming up, of course, kicks off with the Mavericks, but our expectations here is that the Vixens are going all the way.
All the way. This Sunday, Raps?
That's it. Yeah. Against the Mavericks, you can get your tickets on the Vixens website. It's going to be feisty now.
And memberships.
And memberships too on the website.
Come support the Vixens.
That's it.
Our first home game is actually round two because it's the Mavericks home game. So we'd love to see everyone there when we take on the Thunderbirds. They're the reigning premiers and that's on the Saturday.
Thunderbirds
following.
Are go.
Awesome, Joe Weston. Great to see you.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Mea culpa, we love Joe.
Who? Mea culpa. Oh.
Now, Leroy, you heard this, so I'm not making this up.
Yes. What are you making up?
The idiot file goes 5 minutes.
Yes.
Fat, just before in that song, said to us, Maddie told me it was 4 minutes and they've cut it down to 5. Did he say that?
That is true.
That is exactly what you
Don't
said.
Don't make up stuff that we talk about during the ad break.
But it was actually 8 minutes cut down to 5.
That's
Shut up,
it.
Leroy. Bendigo bound.
This I love. And not only do I love it, but the family love it. Hit it, Leroy.
And the IPL. Did you watch this last night?
IPA. That's a beer.
Yep, that's a beer.
Just shut up and listen. The Australian Cup at Flemington tomorrow. Big, big race. Mr. Brightside and Pride of Jenny, the two favourites there.
Tomorrow or Saturday?
It's even Saturday.
Probably Saturday, that one, yeah.
Get back to real friendships, Jenny. Get back to real.
Do you call me Ginny? Can you please make sure.
Come on, we've got to do these.
To Maddie, please.
We've got to do these. Come on. Get back to real friendships, Jimmy boy, real teamwork and real skills in the 2024. And real skins.
Oh, my God.
How's this rad read? Paddy Cummins, 2 for 35. That wasn't bad because the poor old open bowler for the Indians.
Open bowler.
What is he then?
Opening bowler.
Well, guess what I've got on my running sheet?
Machine.
Running machine.
Running machine.
Running machine. Running sheet here.
What have you got?
We were pissed. We'd been to the What's the Catch.
Really? Yeah, we're
and we're walking out of the Gabba.
Gabba. What, this is train wreck.
And
I just happen to know.
The pressure under Adelaide, or on Adelaide even, under everywhere, it's a well-known tongue twister. You got to tell me, who picked a peck of pickled peppers? Well, it's Peter Piper. Oh, picked a peck of peppers.
We had to wear the mouth guards this week.
Oh.
Get real serious, Bill.
Oh, the mouth guards. Remember that? The good old days in the case, Aiden. You're not, no training this week. Bring your bloody mouth guards.
No training, bring your mouth guards. Yeah. How does that work?
Well, no footy training because you just had that one-on-one on. How do you spell your premier's name?
Oh, come on, fat.
Malinaskis.
P-E-T-E-R.
All right, how do you spell Malinaskis? How do you spell your premier's name? Peter Malinaskis. We got the $100 cash. The $500's gone, of course, and thanks to Harvey Norman, you got a beef eater, bug barbecue.
Sorry, Lockie.
Hey, we got a T-shirt, a James Brayshaw short T-shirt.
Brayshaw.
Go.
Okay. What's the prize?
$200.
Good question.
What is it, Billy?
Thirsty camel again, is it?
$200 Netherlands store.
Netherlands. Netherlands.
Netherlands store. You idiots. They're great sponsors. Is that right, Zoe?
Maybe Netherlands.
Zoe, is it?
Adelaide.
And the Neverland credit.
And the Neverland. Yeah. Oh, you can't.
Neverland.
When you want good gear, get in the Netherland. They got the best gear and it's at world price. It is fantastic.
It's at world price. Let's go.
Which Sandsville club is reportedly pursuing a 20th
reportedly.
Pursuing
68 games, Aaron?
Shadlock.
Shadlock.
From Brisbane, did he?
Shadlock.
Shatters. An Aussie boomer, Dante Exum, made a game try buzzer beating three pointer this morning, Jim. A bit of movement in the Sheffield Shield in cricket, Jim.
Right, yes.
Matt Kuchner?
No.
No, that's the actor. Matt Kuchman?
There's actually no one called Matt Kuchman.
Kuchman? Oh. I also want to thank all the supporters of the
supporters.
Game. What about the Vixens? Who have we picked up? Rudy Ells.
Ellis, yes.
Ellis. There's an eye there.
By the way, your joke is all thanks to our mates at Tyre Power, your trusted tyre experts.
Kumo.
Mm-hmm.
Tyres, 3 for 4.
4 for 3.
Oh, 4 for 3.
That's it.
3 for 4. Jeez, you'd be disappointed with that transaction.
4 for 3.
You got to drive your chariot out. There's only 3 tyres on there.
You get 4 for 3, Jim, you idiot. Now, I just want to tell you where I went last night. I went to the circus, Jim.
The circus.
It's out there at Flemington. Plenty of cars. Space if you want to park there.
That's the first thing you're going with is there's plenty of car space.
There is, because that's what you worry about with a circus.
What sort of circus?
It's the big spectacular one they do every year.
Right.
The good
What's
one.
It called?
It's called Cirque du Soleil. That's it. And they have a theme, and this one is Lucia. But there's just performances, things going on. Girls in hoops are running around. There's jugulars. There's
jugulars.
There's
performances and jugulars.
Oh no, Tim.
Fat.
What? Have a spell.
What's going on?
Hey, that outside broadcast last week. We've got to talk about that over there
Fat,
in Adelaide. I'm
not
sure. What's
going
we
on
do.
With your performance?
Did he call you Jenny at one point?
Yeah, Jenny. No,
Jenny.
Yeah, he did. Call me Jenny. And the thing is, Leroy, people say to me all the time, they go, the edit file, that's obviously made up. No one can speak that poorly. I go, no, he does speak that poorly. And what it does is it saps the rest of our confidence.
Oh, so you're
I start worrying about actually whether I can speak properly after I hear Fat.
What about Matty? He has to cut it up and put it together.
It's like a disease. It just spreads.
Matty's got to go to a desert island every year
for a couple of weeks.
He's not allowed out
just
of
to
his
recalibrate.
Box. I haven't seen him for 3 weeks. He hasn't come out of that box. He doesn't get
too
out.
Busy cutting up your mistakes.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Fat, I'm in Perth.
Yes.
A place where I'm a legend.
Oh.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
You didn't need the prop.
That's a visual prop to a horrifically bad joke.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day. Of all the jokes Billy Brownless told this week...
This better be good.
This was certainly... one of them.
All right, have you got something funny?
Mm-hmm.
On Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session, this is Billy's joke.
Oh, Sonia. Jim.
Yes.
Sonia says when she was a little girl, she screamed at her parents for 3 days to buy her a pony.
How'd that go?
She got a little horse.
Oh. No. No, that's not. That's not at the level.
It's not bad, Sonia.
No. So is there another one?
No, no.
Just that's it.
Sonia only sent one in.
Well, you get a whole book full.
Do you want me to try and find one? Or
find
something?
One. Something better than that. Busy shaking his head. He can't believe it. So he can't believe it.
Just talk amongst
yourselves. We're down on normally there's 4 or 5.
Yeah, I know. Well, Jasper's at the footy, ready to go. I don't know
Joey?
Where Joey.
No, he's gone.
He might be there.
Yeah, exactly.
John was having a bad day, Jim.
Yes.
He tried to button his shirt up and the button fell off.
Right.
He picked up his briefcase and the handle fell off.
Right.
He went to open the door and the doorknob fell off. Fair to say he's not going for a piss.
Oh!
Oh, no.
Better! Fat, better. Yes.
That's fat.
Oh, you brought that to the table yourself.
Exactly. See, I should be. When am I back telling these jokes?
No, you're back on Monday. Oh, so it's woolly for Sonia, but plastic for
yes,
you.
Yes,
there we are. Not bad.
For a pee and.
Yeah, no, we understand what would happen if you went to the pee.
Yeah, right.
No,
yeah,
he's tortured for one.
Into the bowl.
Oh, that was a bit flat.
Yeah.
This has been Triple M's Rush Hour Sunday session. The best of JB and Billy.
You must produce better radio.
And even though they're going, you can still take them with you wherever you go. Download the listener app and add JB and Billy to your favourites.
I feel good.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy, brought to you by the Ford Ranger, Australia's number one selling vehicle in 2023.